You're in tune with KTWHLP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Michelle Anderson sitting in for Tom Kohler. And I do have on the line with me the editor of the Lake County Press, Kitty Mayo. Good afternoon, Kitty.
Good afternoon, Michelle. And I have to just, full disclosure, I'm on the road. I'm parked right now, but you're going to hear a little road noise and there went a semi. So thanks for being flexible with us.
No problem. So our first headline today is Two Harbors City Council highlights and housing. Real excited to hear more about that.
So I'm going to give you a synopsis of a report and then throw a curveball at you, Michelle. That story did not make print this week. And I put it out there as a headline because I did want to talk about it. In the newspaper business and probably radio too, when you come up with a plan and then you get new stuff happening all the time and live action, things change at the last minute. So at the last minute, I wasn't able to get that story in print, but it is coming because it's a very important one. So this is a report on the Two Harbors City Council meeting just this last Monday. There was so much on the agenda. It was practically overwhelming, and a great deal of it had to do with housing. And the housing in particular that was discussed had to do with a project that I'm calling Houses That Need a Home. And this is related to the Two Harbors City HRA, Housing and Redevelopment Authority, has had in the works for a good long while. A neat program they've worked out with the Two Harbors High School students who are going to build modular homes. And all the HRA needs to do is find a spot to plant them and then sell them to people so that they have a place to live. There's lots of details to go with that. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That is incredible.
They've been hard at work on this. Finding a plot has been a difficulty, as well as working out the details of their initial funding. And they had a agreement worked out, they thought, with the city to get the money they would need to buy their initial supplies. School's starting pretty soon. Students are ready to build. They need something to build with. Not even that much money, really, all things considered. They need somewhere between $20,000 and $40,000 for the materials for the first house that they're going to put together. But there's been some snafus in that, in the planning, in the communication. There was frustrations expressed by the city HRA representative Phil Arnold in an appearance before the council. The response from the council and members of the council who are on the new housing committee to try and really elevate this conversation and get some action going. But there was frustration on that side. And I think what it boiled down to was a really good discussion. You know what I loved out of it? There was some contention and difficult feelings, but people were talking out their problems, and I always like that. And at the end of the day, a housing committee meeting happened the next day. I have a partial report from that. It does look like this project is going to keep moving forward, and people are figuring out how to collaborate, one of your favorite words, and work together. At that same council meeting, there was also a representative of the county HRA, the county administrator was there, and a county commissioner was there as well. And all because of housing issues and wanting to be in the room, a witness in the room, a voice ready to speak in the room. And I think it's a beautiful thing. These things are really starting to pop.
I'm very glad to hear that. And we're grateful for your reporting on this and continuing to give us updates. And yes, of course, I'm sure there's going to be ongoing discussions. But as you said, collaboration and action, that's what's needed in the community.
Yeah.
All right. Our next headline, we had a representative make a report to the Two Harbors City Council. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I'll just give you a snippet. Representative Grant Hochschild is on hand, and he did, for the record, what happened in the last legislative session that ended in May. And it was a stellar session for Minnesota and for Lake County. Probably one of the most, I would say, luckiest counties in the state for the amount of funding and projects that were really important projects that were saved out of the fire because of that legislative session. And I'm going to let people look at the video of a wrap for that. But I got to talk to Grant for a minute outside. We had scheduled a 5-minute sidewalk interview, one of my favorites. And I asked him, how are you going to go into the next legislative session with this hero status? What's that going to look like for you? And that was a fun conversation. I'll share some more of that in the article. My other really pressing question with him was, how are you going to continue to work well with your classmates, you know, that grade you used to get in grade school, but particularly with Republican legislators, both, you know, in the representative and Senate, because in committees and all the things they have to do, there's a lot of crossover there. And he said he really is keeping that as a priority. He feels like next session will be more difficult and that it's going to really call on him and everyone to really work their negotiation skills to get stuff done. Mm-hmm. And not to fall into partisan politics where things get stalled. So the way he wants to do that is by focusing on what other people do best and letting them do it. And his colleagues who are Republicans, he was able to quickly run through a list and say, they're really good at this. They know more about it than I do. I'm going to get out of their way and support them when they're working on that and hope that they support me when I'm doing the stuff that I do best.
And Grant seems to do an amazing job of shaking hands, so to speak, with those across the aisle. And we do appreciate that. All right.
Exactly.
Our next headline, the five doctors.
Sure. So the five doctors, Michelle, refer to the last set of doctors who worked for over three decades together at Lakeview Hospital and Clinic. So I've been working on a series. I can't even remember where we're at, the fourth or fifth, and a series of articles about the history of Lake County's health care. It's interesting and complicated, and there are a lot of stories to tell. And in this instance, we had these five doctors who were caring for people in Lake County and surrounding areas for so long that they saw generations of families, really an important influence. So I checked in with each one of them. They all had a little story to tell. It was sort of a way to, it's a long article because it was four of them, but it was sort of a way to just commemorate the time that they spent in those really important positions and give a nod to it and let people know, look, this is when they started and this is when they retired.
That sounds great, Kitty. Looking forward to reading that article as well. And it looks like our final headline here, restorative justice. What is it?
Yes. What is it?
Yes.
And when is it? Restorative justice is another issue that the Lake County Press has been working on, an initiative, I'll call it, to try and bring education, information about what restorative justice is to Lake County in the hopes that there will be a beginning of a restorative justice program in the very near future, and I think we're moving in that direction. This piece that Katja Gordon worked on has to do with explaining what restorative justice is and where you can go to find out more information. We're hosting another event in Beaver Bay at the Beaver Bay Community Center, August 29th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Everyone is invited if you want to learn more or think you might like to be involved. What is restorative justice in a nutshell? It's a process by which wrongs, harm that is done can be mitigated and healed without going through your classic criminal justice system punishment mode. So what this might look like in the future would be people who are trained facilitators, community members who are trained facilitators, meeting with someone who has agreed to, wants to meet to talk about taking responsibility in a real way for harm they have caused to someone else. So it might be a young person who had trespassed or done some sort of, damage to property and got caught and is sent through to the criminal justice system. There could be opportunities for the courts, for probation, for a judge, for attorneys to refer these sorts of cases into a restorative justice program. And it could demonstrably change the course of that and hopefully have a better outcome for everyone, for victims, for people who have caused harm, and for all of everybody in our community, because it tends to repair damage as opposed to punish damage. And it's been shown for many decades to be a very beneficial way to view how to handle harm in a community and how to move beyond it in a healthy way.
And once again, you are having an event that is going to be addressing this issue and explaining this issue. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's going to be held on Tuesday, August 29th at 4 p.m. at the Beaver Bay Community Center everyone is welcome to attend.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Kitty, for keeping the community and our listeners informed, as always. And is there any other stories that you'd like to share before we wrap up today?
There's always more to the story, Michelle. I'll save it for next week, though.
Fantastic, Kitty. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Michelle. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to KTWH LP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Editor Kitty Mayo and me, Michelle Anderson, sitting in for Tom Kohler this week.